Welcome to The Great Sending, Season 3, Episode 4. God's Heart for the World Beating Through You. A series of devotions edited by Will Soans and published by 10th Power Publishing of Elgin, Illinois. Focus of Season 3 is The Sending Christ. Episode 4, written by Dr. Robert Newton, speaks of the seeking God. Luke 15:4, Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" Later in that chapter, Jesus said to someone, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." And between those in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the great words of Jesus describing his mission, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Ever since Genesis chapter 3, our God has been seeking his lost children, all of them. His question to Adam, "Where are you?" That wasn't intended as a question about his geographic location, but his relational position before his God and Heavenly Father. What Adam needed to say was, "I'm lost, Father. I really am." However, his sin rendered him unable to think. Adam couldn't even think that thought, let alone voice the tragic reality. Like Adam, our sin too renders us, God's children, unable to think and unable to voice where we really are in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so our Father has and will forever seek after his lost children until he finds them. Three times in Luke 15, our Lord Jesus impresses this truth upon his disciples and the church leaders of his day. His gracious and joyous words were set against the context of the scribes and Pharisees' contentious grumbling. "This man," that is Jesus, "receives sinners and eats with them." They had picked that bone with him since the earliest days of his ministry in Matthew 9. They continued to chew on it all the way to Holy Week, when in Luke 19:7, we are told Jesus went in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. That should cause us to question, in the story of the prodigal son, who is the real lost boy? Historically, the obvious answer seems to be the son who demanded his portion of the inheritance from his father in order to leave home and squander it on reckless living and prostitutes. The story indeed reveals the lost nature of our self-centered hearts while simultaneously revealing the unconditional love of our seeking Father. Luke 15:20 says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." At the same time, however, as we look at this story, we must not lose sight of the other lost son, that older brother. Consider what Jesus shares with us. First, the prodigal son eventually came to his senses, saying, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" The prodigal son was not so lost that he couldn't remember his father's kindness or generosity. He wasn't so found that he understood the unconditional nature of his Father's love and incredible ability to forgive and restore either. Children who are truly lost are never able to come to their senses. That's the dilemma of being lost. But don't blame the prodigal son for his limited understanding. None of us are truly able to comprehend. To comprehend what? Well, Ephesians 3:18 says, the breadth and length and height and depth of God's grace, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now, the loving father in the story never went seeking after his younger son who ran away. In reality, seeking the lost was not his responsibility. It was the older son's. Jesus tells us that the father divided his property between them, meaning that both sons received their inheritance on the same day. According to ancient tradition, the older brother received as much as 90% of the father's property, along with the full responsibility to look after his father's extended family. He was now in charge of the estate, which included his younger brother. To better understand our Lord's intention in this third story, we might paraphrase his earlier question, what man of you, having a younger brother who runs away, does not go after the one that is lost until he finds him? Yet, Jesus tells us, once the young brother returned, the father went seeking after his oldest son. His father came out and entreated him, it says, to join the family celebration. Note that as Jesus is speaking these words, he is standing among the unhappy religious leaders, seeking them to come inside and join the celebration of lost sinners. Their spiritual brothers and sisters returned. In all three stories, Jesus emphasized the relationship between celebration and personal possession. Listen to the father's response to the older son's complaint. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The father did not say, this my son was lost, but rather, this your brother. Jesus wanted to impress upon his hearers the shared ownership between himself and us of all those who are lost. The real problem, perhaps, was not in the older son's inability to accept that he was his brother's keeper, but that he was his gracious father's son. And as his son, he was the full heir of all that his father possessed, including his prodigal brother now returned. Listen to his bitter complaint. Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me as much as a young goat when I might celebrate with my friends. He thought of himself as a slave, not as a son. As a laborer, rather than co-owner of the ranch. And though he served many years faithfully, he never asked for anything, even as little as a kid goat, in order to throw a dinner party. That shows he didn't understand his father's love, nor his place in his father's family. Why did he think his father had to give him a goat in order to throw a party? Didn't he already own the goat? Didn't he already own all of the goats? After all, he was his father's son. What belonged to his father belonged also to him. He wasted all those years slaving for his father out of servile obligation rather than serving with his father as beloved son and co-owner. Not understanding or choosing to disbelieve that he was the son of his gracious father closed his heart to celebrating his brother's return. Our missionary motivation, as St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us, springs us only from a deep and abiding understanding of our Father's unconditional love for us and for all people. It does not proceed, nor can it, from some sense of obligation based on a divine command or commission, or from some debt we owe God for all his graciousness to us. St. Paul sums it up this way in 2 Corinthians 5. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. Sola Deo Gloria. Before you do anything else, I suggest that you go back to Luke 15 and reread the parable of the prodigal son. Picture yourself playing the role of each of the main characters, the younger brother, the older brother, the father. And then write a brief description about yourself in each role. Now, at the end of the parable, the father becomes the missionary to his older son. We're told the father went out and pleaded with him. Contrast the father's attitude toward his lost sons with the older brother's attitude toward his younger brother and toward his father. What needs to be addressed in the older brother's understanding and attitude for him to welcome sinners and eat with them as Jesus did? You know, for some time now, folks have argued over the mission of God and our participation in it. Is it by law or gospel? But this is a wrong question to ask. The question is not whether Christ's mission is law or gospel. Christ's mission is the gospel for the world. The real question, then, is about our participation in the gospel mission. Do we participate in his mission by law or by promise, by obligation or by gift? How do you think the older brother would answer the question? How do you think the gracious father would answer it? I think we need to pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds to know who we really are and how much you really love us. From these open hearts, then, enable us to seek after our lost brothers and sisters, even as you seek after us. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.